Hello out there, a Bantertown crew bringing it hot back to you.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
I was too close. Thanks. I haven't done a Bantertown in a while. Good morning. Afternoon. Hey, guys. How you doing?
John's sick.
I think he's on drugs.
Again. I'm just trying not to say it's going to be a great episode. I'm trying real hard because Johnny's corrected me.
What was the Canadian liquid medicine that you took? What was it called?
It was milk of the poppy. I don't know. That stuff was gross.
Buckley's. Didn't you try that?
No, but I just remember we were talking about it. And
yeah.
But you get free drugs in Canada. It's probably the good stuff, though, right?
It was terrible.
High quality.
It was significant.
I think medicine that tastes bad is you think it's going to work more.
Absolutely. It's like you're earning your health that
like
way.
Like a Ludens. Remember the Ludens cough drops when you were a kid? It's basically cherry candy.
Hey, I loved Ludens. It did nothing for you.
No. It's just that you could cough and your teacher would let you have Ludens in class.
Yeah.
If you could kind of...
It was like candy?
Yeah, it was basically cherry candy.
Okay. Yeah, it did nothing for you.
It didn't even say that it was medicinal. It just said like... for dry throat or something. You know, it was like, well, anything's for dry throat. It's a hard candy.
Just try swallowing. That'll help the dry throat.
That's so funny.
Yeah. No, I am a little bit under the weather. I don't know. It could be the 60-degree swing that we've had here.
Tennessee, man.
Yeah, we were like in the lowest. We were in the lowest sustained temperatures that we've been in a decade. And then
are you a weather nerd, though? As you get older, do you find yourself watching the Weather Channel on a loop and not realizing that it's happening?
No, I don't. I can't stand the Weather Channel. But
you like weather.
I do. I like snow. I like cold, but I won't sit there and watch the Weather Channel.
My wife will, and that's why I don't. I mean, we've talked about this before on the podcast, but she really enjoys the...
I get local weather, but the people that watch it and go, it's 12 in Boise. Like, how does that affect your life?
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay knowing what's happening in the rest of the world. I don't know. If I want that, I'll open up an app on my phone and I'll see what the weather's like. I don't want to stare at the TV.
What I really dig is like tornado documentary shows. Like those.
The enemy
like
wind.
Going to Joplin and like. Yeah. Sucks that all that happened, but it's really entertaining.
did you like the movie Twister?
I loved Twister.
Yeah. Helen Hunt and
Bill Paxton. Bill Paxton.
Paxton's dead?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's dead. That's really? Crazy to me.
Died suddenly this year. This past year.
Yeah. I did not know that.
He was only like 52 or something.
Yeah, it was a freak accident, I think.
He was in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a great actor.
Yeah.
Tombstone. Get
We're
out
off
here
to a good
Tombstone.
Note.
Yeah.
We miss you. RIP Bill Paxton.
Speaking of Tombstone, I was hacking
Tombstone.
I was hacking upstairs in the office earlier and I walked past Amy's office and I was like, I sound like Doc Holliday, you know.
That's right.
And I got no reaction at all.
What? Did she not see Tombstone?
I don't know. I was like, I got the consumption. I got no reaction from that either. Like, I'm giving you all I got, you know. I was reading some things from my book to you guys before I went on the air, and I got no reaction from y'all either. So I'm just kind of used to that.
Maybe you should rethink your book. I don't know.
See, if I stopped writing things because of the reactions, guys, I'd have written nothing. Do you know, I tried a joke in the 8:30 early Dream Team service on Sunday morning and got no reaction. And so...
You told me this at lunch, and you said... And then I tried it again at the 10 o'clock, and I was like, you did it again? That's like a comedian's... Like blaming the crowd and being like, this is good. Let's see what the next group says.
Well, see, since I'm not a comedian, and here's the thing, I had a backup plan. So in the 8:30, it was only a few people in there because it's just our volunteers from the children's areas mainly. And so I did it, and they don't want to laugh, Johnny. You know that. They don't want to laugh with just a few of them sitting there.
Well, it's early.
And so then I said, well, I was expecting a bigger reaction to that or something. Then they laughed, at that. So I was ready for that. Instead,
laughing at your failure.
Right, because I just make fun of myself.
Way funnier.
It is way funnier.
The best follow-up to a joke that failed, I remember when I was a kid, I used to watch these shows on TV. One of them was a stand-up show called Evening at the Improv.
Oh, yeah, I used to watch
it. And it was all
with the brick wall behind you.
Yeah, and so they were just live comedy club shows. And so one of them, a joke bombed, or it just fell a little bit flat. And he said, those jerks in Iowa set me up. I just thought that was so funny. Like, what a funny reaction.
In second service, you set it up a little better, and it went over better.
Could you actually name anything I did differently?
Well, not now, but in the moment, I was like, okay, he did a little better.
I felt like it was pretty identical.
No. It was like one or two words different, but maybe like, you had the audience with you.
So sometimes about confidence, like friend, this is like talking shop comedy wise, but the one of the reasons you never open, like I wrote some new jokes for this run with Tim. Okay, I had some new jokes I wanted to do because sometimes I'll do a city with Tim and I've done it before and I want to make sure when I go out with Tim Hawkins I'll do different jokes. But I had a couple new jokes and the rule is you don't open with a new joke, and it's not because it might not be funny enough to be first. It's because you never quite have the confidence when you're delivering a brand new joke because you don't have your feet underneath you. You don't know that it's killed in 30 cities yet.
Right.
And so it could be great. But I did it the first night. I went out and did it anyway. And it was a rookie mistake. And it was flat. It didn't die, but it was just flatter than it would have been.
What was the joke?
It was about, because it's New Year's, coming off New Year's. And I said, anybody make your resolutions? How was your Christmas? And I said, I found this out over Christmas. Maybe a good holiday idea for you guys coming up. I said, for $59, you can name a star after a loved one. Mm-hmm. And I said, or for $0, you can just tell them you did. And so that's, I'm going to do that. See that one there that says Alpha Centauri on the map? That's Janet. And it's funny, but it's just, I didn't quite have the swagger to really, and it's not an opener because you're not really saying anything about yourself yet.
Well, it's not like a huge payoff either. Like it's comical.
It's good once you know me and you're in my rhythm, and it just wasn't a good starter. So that was my mistake.
I'd be curious to know what I did differently, Dane, because
I couldn't tell you. I don't have the mind of a comedian. I know that about myself. Well, so I know that you set it up better, but I don't know what you did.
Well, what I said, Johnny, was so I did a.
Now we have to hear this. I'm just
kidding. Well, we had to hear. Well, we had to hear yours. You. Well, I was doing a message. We're doing a series called "Here Comes the Bride" about the church, the Bride of Christ. And so I was using three Disney princesses, and so we were talking.
Which is very demasculating, I'll say.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, when you have maybe it's just being the dad of a daughter. You know, it's like it is what it is. Yeah, but you will be. And
I don't know about that.
You got long hair like Rapunzel. Slow your roll.
Well, I did Cinderella getting out of isolation, and I did Rapunzel getting out of insecurity, and then I did. I was doing Snow White. I was like, guys, and that was my last point. So they were kind of with me by then. Maybe that's what it was. They were really with me by then. But
maybe
I was like, guys, Snow White, it was ignorance was the point. You know? And Proverbs chapter 1 says, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? And how long, O scoffers, will you delight in scoffing? And so the whole point is, hey, it's okay that we're simple or we're ignorant and don't know things. It's just not okay to love it. Mm-hmm. It's okay that you struggle with cynicism. It's not okay to love it because that's what he was saying. How long will you love this part about yourself? And so I said, guys, Snow White, man, she really had some issues in her life. I said, she lived in the woods with seven dudes, and only one of them was bashful. And it did. It got actually a pretty big laugh.
It got a better laugh in the second service.
I was prepared for the whole.
I think there's a little bit of like, we're in church, and that kind of joke is.
It's on the edge a little bit.
Yeah, people are like, can we laugh at that?
Was Snow White in an inappropriate relationship with six other dudes or something?
The joke I've always heard about the dwarves that's like a stock joke is that six out of seven dwarves are not happy. See, that's a good
you
joke.
You had to find a way, didn't you?
I'm sorry. That's just funny.
You had to upstage me.
Dude, I'll never forget. This was in the Numa days when we're doing the college ministry thing. And we had a Christmas party, and I think Johnny got a hold of your buddy, Nate.
Nate Bergazzi.
Yeah, he came in, and he's definitely like a club comic, right? So he comes in, and he slipped up. He fudged a little bit and said, I think he said damn or something like that.
No, he did.
He did, and it was like, it kind of like he caught it as it was happening.
Really?
And it was a little under his breath, but it was like in the punchline.
Yeah.
And so everybody in the crowd, like, we wanted to laugh, but it was like, we didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And he just kept going, and it was fine.
It's so weird because Nate doesn't curse in his show.
He did, man. It may have been just like something, just like he's in a new setting. And
I don't know.
I wonder if you thought he was cussing, but he really wasn't cussing.
He did.
And so then the joke got ruined, Like. Wow. Nah, that's interesting. Because you would have remembered that, Johnny. Yeah.
I would have said something to him. Probably I'd have been like, dude, what are you doing?
It was very, like, it was minor, of course.
Yeah, but like an accident, probably.
It was definitely an accident.
Huh. I'll have to confront him about that.
Confront him.
You split my church.
He will not remember that.
Hey, yeah, now I know why college ministry didn't work out.
There you Neighbor Gassy said, damn, from the
old. Was that one? I've been looking for the reasons.
Dude, speaking of comics, I just got into the new, and it's not new. It's new to me, the Jerry Seinfeld show. Not Seinfeld.
Right.
But comedians in cars getting coffee.
Oh, yeah, because Netflix bought the rights to
it. Yeah, so it was a YouTube show, apparently.
It was on cracked.com forever. Okay. And so, yeah, but it was basically,
I've
it was
really
YouTube
been
videos.
Loving that.
It's great.
I think Seinfeld's funny, but then he has, like, really interesting guests, too.
Yeah, Seinfeld's interesting because he doesn't like normal people, so he has, like, he's kind of smug and kind of has disdain for normal people. But I really do like him, and I think Seinfeld's the best show that's ever been, but he some of the conversations are different. I was watching some of those yesterday too, which
they're
Pastor,
really
you know, Pastor's been laid up.
Yeah.
And so he's been texting me, dude, have you seen this? Have you seen this? He's like actually having to watch things.
Yeah.
Which is so funny for Andrew because he just
what
never
shows
stops
is he
moving.
Texting you about?
He texted me about Comedians in Cars. Have you seen this? I go, yeah, it's been out for 5 years. You know, but it's
he's talking to me about it the other day too. Yeah, as if it was.
Then he'll text me about other comedians. Did you know Michael Jr. did a TED Talk? I go, yeah, I knew. That's cool. He goes, it's awesome.
That's me though. I don't.
Yeah, I think it's great, man. That he's kind of stuck and having to slow down. It's like, you know, I think sometimes we...
He's not happy about it.
No, but I like it. I like it.
Got some nice cars, though. Say that.
Yeah. Well, it's cool. Yeah, it's a great show. But yeah, it's funny to watch, like, people who are entertainers for a living and having a normal conversation. And then you'll kind of catch them trying to make each other laugh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
But not be obvious about it, but it's funny. Yeah.
Did you guys see the video clip of Kesha... It was at some like award show, and Kesha wanted she sees Seinfeld, and she wants to go hug him.
Oh, right, and he kind of snubbed her.
Jerry, I don't think he did, but he's like apparently not a hugger at all. Like doesn't want
he's germaphobe.
Human contact.
Mm-hmm. At all. Yeah.
So she goes in for a hug, and he's like, "Nope," and he like literally pushes her away.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was like a big huge viral. It's like a viral video.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Well, he probably didn't know who she was either, and he's just like,
"Yeah, maybe."
Oh, there's no. He didn't probably know there's gonna be 300 cameras capturing that moment forever of him snubbing. Yeah,
I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, I would know better than that. Just knowing enough about Jerry Seinfeld and not even go. I'd go for a fist bump at most.
Yeah, I wouldn't even.
Which, like, I have friends like that. Like, I have a buddy named Rick Roberts, and he travels, you know, 150 days a year as a comic, but he's so afraid of getting sick, so he'll fist bump you just because.
Yeah,
because if you get sick, you could be down. You could lose six shows. You could lose thousands of dollars. Yeah. So.
Fist bump is weird though, because you never know. Like if you fist bump, you're the one that's botching the norm. Like the norm is like a handshake or like But the bump is like always at the last second, and then you screw everything up, and it's just awkward.
And then if you do it, then they blow it up, and you don't blow it up.
Yeah, it just gets weird.
Fist bump's like what I do to little kids. Like, hey man, you know.
Well, that's what it is.
You have to really broadcast the fist bump
from
a mile away to make it successful. But
yeah, there's a comedian that did a joke about how he extended his. There was somebody across the room, and he extended his hand way too early. As he was walking towards the guy, and he's just like, he knew it was a problem. Like he's walking with his hand out.
Why?
And he's like, he just knew that. He goes, then I got caught between two, three people, so now I'm just like hand extended. Like he goes, and then for some reason I said this, I'm coming. <You know?
laughs> That's really funny.
I love awkward stuff like that.
I do crap like that all the time, though. There's no way around it sometimes.
So I did this church in Oakland,
Oakland, California.
Yes. Right. Is there another Oakland?
Well, there's all kinds of Oakland.
Is there? Oakland?
I don't think so. Okay, so good I'm one. In Oakland, and this church had earplugs in the back. A lot of churches do for like whatever. They have a multi-generational church. Okay. And so they'll say earplugs because our worship service is loud or whatever. And they're like the orange foamy guys. And they're just in a tray.
Do they with a sign of them?
I don't know.
That's gross.
No. It was little baggies. I mean, they were loose, though, I think, though. But they were just out there.
That's gross.
And so you throw them away if you're done. But
if
I asked the guy, he said, yeah, he goes, we've had that for a while. He goes, they used to be in a big bell jar, a big glass jar. Uh-huh. And he goes, we had to take them out of the jar because kids thought they were candy and we had kids eating them.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Eating recycled earplugs.
Well, they're not recycled.
But they are if they're loose.
Maybe they are.
That's real gross.
They were grabbing. Ooh, look. Skittles. It's probably almost as good as those circus peanuts. Remember those orange?
Oh yeah, foamy man. Candy? I used to love those things.
Yeah.
Hey, Joni, there are 35 cities in America called Oakland.
Really?
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah. So,
Curry, isn't there another Nashville?
There is.
There's a lot of Nashvilles.
Really?
There's like seven or eight Nashvilles. Indiana. Mm. Arkansas.
Yep.
Curry said that she likes when Laura is on the show because when we have a question like this, she'll be shouting at the at her radio or
her
device.
She knows the right answer.
Or she's just saying, look it up. Don't leave everything. And Laura looked it all up.
It's not very entertaining. Yeah.
Well, we had that conversation. Now we are pausing better now at home. Because something like, I'll go, we've seen that actor. We watch a lot of these British shows.
So you'll go with her there. I figured that she would either stop doing it because it irritated you when she stopped watching the show.
Well, I do.
But you've learned to accept it is what's happened.
You know what? It doesn't irritate me as long as we either stop the show. Like, I want to know, too. I just don't want to know to the detriment of the plot
they
were in.
That.
You know what I'm saying? So just don't disengage. What I don't understand is why I want her to engage so much.
Yeah, it bothers me. No, it bothers me, too.
It's like you want to do something with somebody.
Yeah, I'm experiencing it together.
You don't want to, like, you experience and then have to tell her what happened.
Yeah, like Curry.
Well, no, she won't even ask. She'll be like, it's like we've been engaged in this show for 2 years, and all of a sudden, because there was something worth that was Google worthy, all of a sudden it's like, I don't know.
That's really annoying.
Yeah.
Emily's on her phone a lot, and that really bugs me during shows.
Emily, clean it up, girl. Clean it up.
Yeah, for real.
If Emily was listening right now.
Which she's not.
Did you tell her we're doing less than an hour now?
Yeah, she still thinks it's too long.
Don't say that. You've jinxed it. Now we're going to do way more than an hour.
No. How much time?
I mean, an hour or a little over is acceptable. An hour and a half is acceptable.
Guys, that's what I've been saying about preaching for years. Hello? Is this thing on?
No.
Do you guys watch the British shows?
What
like The Crown?
Name the British shows.
Like Victoria, The Crown, or no?
Whose line is it anyway?
Or
that's British. Get out of here,
Game of Thrones.
Me. That's a British show.
Stop it. That's
no.
Oh, wait, you think it's wrong that I watch Game of Thrones?
I didn't say anything like that.
Yeah, you do. I can see it on your face. Dude.
I don't know.
What's
Listen,
The Crown? What is The Crown about?
I watch.
It's about Queen Elizabeth. And, you know, like the Queen Elizabeth who's still alive, but like back at the end of World War II and her dad who died and then the king, her dad's brother who abdicated. There's just a lot of history there. It's really interesting, fascinating. Oh. And Philip who's, you know.
The one I've always thought was maybe interesting was Downton Abbey.
We watched that. Yeah, love Downton Abbey. Oh, yeah. You've never watched Downton Abbey?
I honestly have any clue what it's about. I just hear people talking about it.
It's like proper, very foppish British people.
Thing about Downton Abbey that I like, that you would like, so it's an actual house in England, and it really spans decades. But it's the time when they're moving away from the British landed gentry into more of a egalitarian, democratic type society. And so you have two sets of people's lives going on. You have the people upstairs, and then you have this whole host of servants and their lives downstairs, and how that they interact with the people upstairs and with one another. And like for every hierarchy there is and every rule, so like, you know, you would never wear a black tie to dinner in your own house. Like, you had to wear a white tie. Like, there's just all these little... It's so, like...
It's like manners.
Yeah, it's very much they live this life.
That sounds about...
But then downstairs, there's the same set of rules among the servants, just indifferent. Like, you would never bring someone this glass when you have to bring them this glass. You know, it's like... And then, of course, the humanity of everybody and how they appreciate one another, and then how it changes through the wars and through different times and how it's hard on everybody. So it was just... It was a really great show.
And you just saw the Churchill movie too, right?
Dude, I saw Darkest Hour.
Was it good?
So we had some friends in from Florida who are moving back to Mount Juliet, and they have two kids, and one of their kids and Sadie are just great friends. And so they're all great friends, but one's a girl her age. So they hung out at our house, and then Snowmageddon hit, and so we had people over the whole time. It was great, so we went to see a movie.
Snowmageddon.
Well, we were iced in.
2 inches of
snow? It's a dramatic title.
It's the South, guys.
But we always title it that when it snows in Tennessee.
I survived the blizzard.
Yeah.
It snowed for like 2 hours.
So we went out to a movie. The kids, we let them go see...
Coco.
No.
Hold on.
The one with the rock in it.
Oh, Jumanji.
Yeah.
Tooth Fairy.
Yeah, let them go see Jumanji. And so
Jumanji was good.
I'm not happy about that remake.
You didn't like it?
I didn't watch it. So that.
Go see it.
How could you not be happy about
something? I know it's different, but I don't want it to be different. I want OG Jumanji.
I don't remember Jumanji being that great.
I loved it. I was a kid when I saw it.
I could see it being great if you're a kid. Yeah. I watched Jumanji with Sadie, the old one.
You didn't like the Robin
Williams? The rhinos coming charging through the living room and stuff?
I do like it. It lacked in some places because like his whole...
And the rock version didn't?
I haven't seen that version yet.
Okay.
It's more like a video game.
But the whole
rock, like they have three lives and they have the whole
right.
They
yeah,
realize
and,
it. They
yeah,
realize the rules. I like that.
Some of my issue with the first Jumanji is that the majority of what was probably the best part of the story you never see, which is his 20 years living in Jumanji.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
I don't want to see that. A lot happened from when he came up, little boy, up to Robin Williams. You know. So anyway, but
it was such a really dark movie.
It had darkness.
Yeah, he's trapped in this world.
Maybe that's why I like.
Although I think the reason they made it dark and made it okay is that all things return in the end. But I always feel weird about movies like that, like Big, where he becomes this adult all of a sudden physically.
Yeah.
And Big's a little scandalous, if you ask me.
Right.
He ends
sure.
up like having this sexual relationship with this other adult.
Right.
Who is this? What are you?
Big
Tom Hanks.
Tom
Big
Hanks?
Was his first breakout movies.
Oh yeah.
Like he sleeps with this lady,
but she doesn't know that he's a kid.
No.
Yet.
But then,
right.
She finds out later in the movie that he's actually a kid.
Right.
And then he goes back to being a kid. He's going to grow up now. But it's like, hey,
wonder what he told his parents. Like they're all like, "You're back." Did he have to make up a kidnapping story? Or
it's like
you can't tell him the truth.
He had a few things happen to him while he was a grown up that now he's going to live with the rest of his life, and he's back to being eight or whatever.
Well, he knows he's going to grow up to look like Tom Hanks. So I don't know how he feels about that. You know.
Well, that was my issue with Jumanji. Was at the end, like this dude's whole life, and you know, him and Helen Hunt go back to being kids again, but they remember.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So how do you go back in 1963?
I don't think it was Helen Hunt.
It was Bonnie Hunt.
Sorry, Bonnie Hunt, her sister, yeah. And so they go back, and now though, but they already know all the things that happened in the future. Like they know.
Much. We shouldn't know all that.
Yeah. Yeah, like they would know what cars look like and technology and all these things, and come on, guys.
Yeah.
So
it's like Biff with the almanac in Back to the Future too.
Yep.
He knew
too much.
He knew too much.
Yeah.
And then what would you do? If we had time travel, what would you do? If you could do one thing, what would you do? Would it be something altruistic? Would you go back and kill Hitler?
Maybe that's not this. I don't think I came prepared to answer this question.
Dane, what would you do? Would you enrich yourself, John? Because I think that's what you would do.
If time travel were a thing, what would I do?
Yeah.
I would not go in the past. I would go into the future where I'm an old man.
Really?
I would. I can't wait to be old and just not care.
I mean, Dane, it's not all it's cracked up to be, bro.
I'm talking like...
Dane, I don't think you care now.
60 years old. 60 years old. Like, I can't wait for that.
Wait a minute. 60 years old's old to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Old enough.
Yeah.
For what I want. Yeah.
Right.
What do you want to do as an old person?
Are you going to... you think you will have cut your hair?
Yeah,
it'll probably be like the long-haired guy in the nursing home.
Probably just wear a hat every day and it won't matter. That's what 60 to me looks like me having a coffee shop that I like to go to every day, reading the paper on my front porch, and just looking at the world through my front porch.
That's your time travel fantasy.
That's what I want to do, yeah.
But you're going to get to see that anyway.
I want
to try
now.
To undo some injustice.
Can't you sit on your front porch and read your paper now?
Not like that.
Here's what you do, though. You glance down at the paper and you see who won the 2082 NBA championship. You come back, you bet on that. Now you're Biff.
Yeah.
I can't come back. I only get one.
But what if he would have done something wrong, okay? He would have used information he shouldn't have had, but instead of using it to destroy the town and build up his own self, what if he had a bettered society with the extra money? What if he'd become a philanthropist and cured world hunger all because he cheated?
And he wiped out organized crime in the process because he bankrupted Vegas with all the bets.
That's what I'm saying. Would that be so wrong, Johnny? What if I did do something that made me a lot of money, but I made the world a better place because of it? Tell me that.
I don't know. Well, I think Back to the Future has a weird morality anyway. There's a comedian friend of mine. He talked about it. He used to have a bit about it. He said, Back to the Future, he goes back. He comes back to the future. Now everything's been fixed because of what he did. And now Biff, the bully, is out washing the car. And he goes, but that's a weird ending. It's like they all know each other. So it's like the husband and wife, aren't they having the McFly's talking to each other like,
Remember that time he tried to rape you
in high school?
Yeah.
Oh, that was ages ago. And he's $5 cheaper than the Johnson boy.
Like, no, that's I've always wondered about that. Like,
why would he be doing odd jobs around your house now?
Yeah, I would not be loving. Biff would be nowhere near my house if, yeah. That is actually in my top three favorite movies, though.
Love Back to the Future.
I have seen it maybe once.
Dang.
I'm not.
It's not enough.
I'm not a big.
Dang.
Back to the Future.
What
specialist.
Old movies crossed over for you? What do you like? Do you like The Goonies?
I love The Goonies.
All right, so that works.
I'll tell you what I think my favorite. I think my favorite one from like the 70s era. Mm. It wasn't made in the 70s, I don't think. But like that kind of movie that is still old is.
Stand By Me.
No.
Lean On Me.
Crap. It's like McConaughey's first big film.
Oh, you're talking about Dazed and Confused.
Yes, Dazed and Confused.
That was actually a 90s movie.
I actually love Dazed and Confused a whole lot.
Yeah, that was like a 90s view of the 70s.
Huh?
Yeah, it was 90s. Yeah, it's interesting to see what stands out and what still crosses over with people. I like The Goonies a lot. I think that, of course, I think they're doing a reboot.
I was going to say, I'm waiting on the new one because everything else has been redone.
They have to keep
making I think them. They may ruin it, but who knows?
They will. But kids will go see it and like it. It's like the new Footloose people went and saw with Zac Efron. He's no Kevin Bacon. Not even close.
I hated Footloose.
The original?
Yeah.
Why?
I hated it.
Dude, they banned dancing. Do you understand me, Dan?
I was not a fan. It was a chick flick to the max.
Kick off your Sunday shoes.
And I like chick flicks, but I just couldn't handle that movie for some reason.
I don't know.
Sorry about it.
That's but The right. Darkest Hour.
Yes,
back, is how we got here,
back to the Darkest Hour.
Back to the Darkest Hour was good.
What's it about?
It's about
Winston Churchill.
Winston Churchill.
Okay,
it's really kind of a nerd movie, like because there's not a lot of action. It's not.
It's a big grandiose speeches and such.
Well, it's sort of this. So a lot of people don't understand the history that existed between World War I and World War II.
Are you going to tell us all about that?
Absolutely.
Right now?
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
That everybody understands, right? That. The European nations allowed Hitler to do all the things he was doing in the 30s.
Right.
And so because they allowed all this,
they let him build the power that he could then invade Poland, et cetera.
And every time he would cross over the line of an agreement or something, they would kind of... they would be like, oh, don't do that. And they never wanted to start another war.
Right.
So they let it go too far. I'm sure you learned from history class, the name of that philosophy politically and how it happened historically was called?
I wasn't listening right then. I don't even know.
Is it like non-interventionalism?
Appeasement.
Appeasement, okay. Yeah.
So it's this time of appeasement. So you got this guy, this prime minister of England right before, and now all of a sudden, people don't understand, in like 2 months, Hitler took over all of Europe. Mm-hmm. Like no one was ready. He had built his war machine for a decade, took over all of Europe, and England was still an appeasement mindset. Yeah. So the whole movie's about moving out of appeasement and how Winston Churchill, because they were ready to just make peace with Hitler and basically just be a German-run state. Mm. And they had the entire army trapped at Dunkirk. Dunkirk.
Oh my God. That's even tougher name.
So Dunkirk, they were trapped there, about to be wiped out. They're like, well, let's just reach out and make peace. And Winston Churchill, who's this crazy character, which is played by
Gary Oldman,
which is nuts because, I mean,
he doesn't look anything like him.
Looks nothing like him. And he always plays like the Russian or Eastern European terrorist, or he played Lee Harvey Oswald in JFK.
Yeah, he's going to get an Oscar for it, I think.
I mean, so he's terrific, but like he's a very unpopular. Winston Churchill's very unpopular. Everybody thinks he's a little bit crazy, and things are not easy for him through this whole process. But eventually, he was the one voice who'd been saying it for years that we have to stop Hitler. Nobody wanted to listen to him. And then all of a sudden he, you know, inspired people to not give up. And the crazy thing about Dunkirk is there's like 300,000 soldiers stuck there about to be annihilated. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't get to them.
Right.
Is that he authorized this crazy plan that no one thought would work to get all of the British civilians who had boats who were willing to cross the English Channel and to bring soldiers back because, you know, they were trying to hold off the Germans.
I need to see that movie too.
And it worked. Like they evacuated the entire army basically with almost no casualties so that the British army was saved so they could actually come back to fight the war.
And then Tom Hardy flies in and saves the day.
It would have been better if it was called Gunkirk.
Gunkirk.
Yeah.
That sounds like, so I watched Braveheart the other day.
That's great, but I know too much about, now. Like I know that it's the real story is not even close to
about
that.
William Wallace.
Yeah,
I don't want to know it. Don't tell me.
That's the thing is, don't, we make movies. That, no, it's very, very.
No, don't, it's not. Don't but do the it. Deal is, it's that. What's the other guy's name? The King in the. The Bruce. William the Bruce.
I don't like stories that are true stories that they embellish that much.
But he's the guy who really, in Scottish history, he's the guy who was more known for the liberation of Scotland.
I don't believe it.
They came down from the mountains in the hundreds and thousands.
I don't know. It's like Michael Orr, The Blind Side. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like now he has to get asked questions all the time and he has to kind of, he's owned it in interviews. Like, no, it wasn't really like that. You know.
But that's a movie. I mean, it's.
But it's a movie that people believed. They wanted to see it more because they want to. Because it's based on a true story, it makes it more inspirational.
Yeah.
There was an Onion story about that that said Michael Orr, he was having a rough season, so they showed him The Blind Side to inspire him or whatever. That was their tactic.
That's funny.
Oh, we got to show you this movie. You're going to love it.
So I haven't been on the show in a while, but. And I didn't get to listen to last week's episode, but. How's it been going for you guys in the new year? And
oh my gosh, Dane, good.
Yeah.
No, it's great. I had some time off, and that was good, and got to rest. Good holidays with the fam. My brother, I told you, my brother bought a 120-year-old farmhouse.
No,
and if he could have talked to you, if I could have set up a meeting with your dad and mom, they could have maybe talked him out of it. Because don't they own like a really old house that they're always like having to fix up? Well,
yeah, but how many acres did he buy?
It's 7 acres. It's on 7 acres.
Okay, so it's pretty similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's out there.
I don't know what my mom and dad
There's not a right angle in this house.
Okay.
But it's actually been restored. It's actually terrible. Okay. It creaks a lot. It's a creaky. And it might be haunted. He doesn't know. Like, do you believe in haunted houses?
I always played on that.
You don't believe in haunted houses?
I don't.
Let me just give you
this. But I do believe that there are buildings with no right angles. What was the name of that place we played it in Knoxville? It was a
haunted house?
No, it was a church that had no right angles. And another church had bought it. And it'd say, Unitarians have no right angles.
There's
buildings.
No right angles or buildings.
Anyway,
I did a show at a church in Nebraska, and it was in an old, it's like a big igloo. They call themselves the Igloo Church. Hmm. And it used to be like a hardcore fundamentalist Pentecostal church, like non-denom-Pentecostal. And literally, they used to joke about it. When they bought the building, the Pentecostals were like, yeah, we built it that way because the demons can't hide in the corners. Because it's totally round. anyway, Eskimos in Nebraska. Okay, what was I saying?
Haunted houses.
Your brother.
So my brother, like Tara, his wife, she asked the other day, and like, she was like, she just put it on Facebook, does anybody believe in whatever? I was just like, oh no, what's happening? So evidently they have a chandelier in their dining room.
Yes.
And so Hayden, their daughter, who's like 9, she said, they come in the other day and the chandelier is spinning. Like, spinning.
No, it's not.
And they go, and it's way taller than Hayden. They said, Hayden, did you like get on the stepladder and like shake this or get it? She's like, no, I just started doing that.
Okay, but when they say spinning, are they talking like it's spinning like 60 miles per hour?
No, no, but it was spinning.
Slightly.
It was moving and should not have been moving.
It's air.
Yeah,
it's not.
Can it be air?
There's always an explanation.
No, I think, sure, but I'm saying it was moving faster than, it wasn't like swaying in the air conditioning. It was spinning.
There's a draft.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Johnny.
Okay. I don't know if I believe it either. I'm just saying.
I have a similar
situation.
I'm not going to tell you like a weird, like if I believe in it and if they need to get out of the house.
You're not telling me you don't believe in either.
I'm not. I don't believe in that.
Yeah, who knows though? For real, who knows? Nobody knows.
I know.
So I have a similar situation with my parents' house growing up. It's an old house, probably like 120 years old at this point. But I remember being like probably 10, 11 years old and it was late one night. I was in my parents' bedroom, and my dad was out of town, and I was sleeping with my mom because I was a kid, and that's what happened. And their piano is in the next room over,
right?
And I hear the piano start playing.
Okay,
and it's freaking 10, 11 o'clock at night. At this point, the lights are off. It's quiet except for the piano, and it's just boom, 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 just like one note.
Oh.
And this is just me and my mom. I'm freaked out.
Right.
And my mom was like really cool-headed about it. And I'll never forget it. She's like, it's probably a mouse in the piano eating the felt. And I don't know why my mom knew that, but when we went in there and checked it, the felt was gone off of that note. Wow. It was the creepiest thing, but with like the simplest explanation. So
I'm sure there's an explanation. It's old house. It's, you know, whatever. I just look
your
it's
face
fun.
Right now.
It's fun.
Dude, if the haunted piano in the next room over could be explained away, like.
So my friend Jeff, when he was like 15 or 16, this was years and years ago. He was at a party and they pull out this Ouija board and he's like, he's uncomfortable, but he's like, fine. So they make him put his hands on the thing. So they asked it, is Elvis alive? And he made it spell out, Jeff is Elvis. I think that's so funny. Anyway, don't play with Ouija boards, kids.
my friends would never come over to our house growing up because I just would tell them all these
you
scary
tell the piano
stories.
Story.
Sure, what's a creepy? Yeah. Is your house isn't creepy looking though, right?
I mean, it can be. Yeah, it kind of was, especially on like a cloudy day. It's like on a hill, so it was like kind of dingy white when we got it. It was kind of creepy. It's a good house, man. Though I have a lot of good memories in that house for sure. I miss living out in the country.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Farmhouses have character.
Definitely,
and this house is really cool. He's got his own barn. My brother's got his own barn now. But it's just, it needs a lot of work, and it overwhelmed me to think about how much work
is
still needed. Whereas I was like, my house is done. I'm glad my house is done.
Yeah.
I'm so relieved.
You know, we moved and we had a lot to do. I still have a few things, and there's that mental list. Although I theorize that houses are never done.
Well, that's true. There's always something you want to do.
Especially if you have a wife.
Oh, snap.
Never done.
Somebody needs to get some counseling up in here.
Good thing she's not listening.
Well.
Yep. I don't know how many minutes we're going. If we ended it right now, though, she'd probably listen.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? Yeah. The cliffhanger. Does Emily have do to-do lists for you? Like, she gives you honey-dos?
No, she doesn't, like, make lists. But there are things that, like, I'm expected to do for sure.
Yeah.
Or she'll call me, like, on her break at work. And you're like, hey, can you do this?
I wonder if we could do a social experiment.
All right.
And I wonder if we talked about Emily enough on the podcast.
That people would tell her.
Yeah, like you say nothing
to
her.
Listen.
I wonder if it would eventually get back to her
to
the point that she wanted to listen, but she wouldn't know which episode it was. She'd have to start listening.
That's true.
In order to find it.
Well, like, somebody would tell her, whoever told her that we were talking about
it. If you're listening right now and you're going to be a part of the social experiment and you know Emily.
I think Emily's smarter than you think she is.
Don't tell her what episode it is or you're going to ruin all the controls of the experiment.
Why do you think Emily's so stupid?
Yeah,
Jonathan?
Dude. It's your freaking problem.
I just wanted to listen.
Did you ever talk about my wife that
I
way?
I wanted to listen. That's all. I love your wife. I wanted to have your wife on here as a guest, actually.
Oh, she'd be a great guest.
Yeah, she would. If she listened to the podcast.
If she listened. Yeah. But some people do, they're like, oh, I'll be on it, but I'm not going to.
She'd start looking at her watch around 30 minutes.
Yeah, this is good.
God, you've been here so long.
This is about enough. That's fine.
Yeah.
I understand.
So I have to say this because I'm the only one in this room that cares.
Okay.
And that... I'm the only one maybe in the state who cares, but Tennessee plays Vanderbilt tonight in basketball.
Okay.
And it's going to be...
You're not the only one that cares.
It's going to be a really good game. I'm the only one who watches.
Well, we already played
them
once and we beat them.
Yeah, but they shot the lights out. We had to come from behind.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Mm-hmm. How is UT this year?
They're really good.
Okay. We're ranked.
We're ranked 22nd.
Kentucky is not ranked for the first time since 2014 or something like that.
Kentucky's lost a few games.
I need to get into college basketball, man. I've said that for years because I really like watching it, but I just don't follow it. I don't know why.
I don't know.
And Oklahoma's like really good this year. Trae Young.
Yeah, they are good. Phenomenal. Yeah, that dude scored 48 the other night.
Dude, he averages like 25, 21, 22 points.
And they lost,
like,
by the way.
Yeah, it wasn't enough. He scored friggin' 48 points and it wasn't enough to win the game. That's crazy to me.
What do you got
to
do?
Guys, there's a lesson there.
There is. It's like John. That's how John feels like when he pulls his white ear. He's like, I'm doing everything.
He's like 19, right?
Church. Why can't we get it together? Right, John?
Because I scored 48 spiritual points.
That's right.
And somehow. I don't feel that way at all, actually, Johnny, man. I don't know what the equivalent would be, but you need to watch.
I will.
You need to watch tonight. It's going to be on ESPNU. So,
ESPN 8, the Ocho.
The Ocho.
No, I'll check it out because I didn't get to see the last one. I had a gig and I was out of town, but I'd like to see it.
Yeah.
Vandy's always tough.
We know they got rid of
Stallings?
Kevin Stallings. You know that?
Really?
Yeah, a couple years
ago.
He's
famous for being kind of a potty mouth.
Yeah, my favorite thing
whenever
ever.
I have a live mic on him, he's just like bleeping every other word. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I liked Kevin Stallings, though. I don't know what it was about him.
There's a frankness to him. He's a straight shooter. You always knew where you stood with him, with the MFers and the things he would say. He's just...
God, I'm going to tell you something. The coach we had before Konzo. No, yeah, what was his name?
Oh, the one that looked like a used car salesman. Yes. Get red in the face. I can't believe you don't remember.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm having a moment.
What is his name?
That,
we got
that,
NCAA sanctions
yes,
all over him.
That dude had a mouth on him. Yeah. It's one of those things like the camera could never go in tight.
Yeah.
They couldn't have a tight shot
you
on him.
You could
always
read the lips.
Because,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's like, anyway. No, but it's my favorite thing like, that Kevin Stallings ever did was, you remember Joakim Noah from Florida?
Of course.
I hate Florida, obviously. And he's the most hateable player of all time
in
any sport. And he's on players in Chicago. Is he still in Chicago?
Yeah, they
can't stand him. Like one of them,
he was a Nick.
So I remember that time that Stallings was holding the ball on an inbounds play, and he was calling a play, and Joakim Noah wanted to take the ball to inbounds it, and Stallings like ripped it away from him. Like, remember that? Like that whole it was so awesome. It was like, you're the enemy of my enemy is my friend. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm just kind of like
this.
That.
This guy gets it.
Yeah,
he understands Joakim Noah is the devil.
This guy gets me.
I kind of thought Joakim Noah was a big dorky guy, like, and so I kind of was like, oh, okay, he probably doesn't have a lot of friends. I kind of feel, because he's good at basketball, and that was, I think that's pretty much all he had going for him. So I kind of, I didn't.
He may be the best guy ever. You know, yeah. I'm not speaking to his character right now.
Right. So, he's had an injury-plagued career in the pros, so I hope you're happy.
I wish no injury upon anyone. That probably is not. Do you ever, when you're watching a game and...
Root for like, players to get injured?
No, not root for players to get injured, but like if you're playing Alabama
yeah,
and there's a shimmer of hope that possibly,
is
you know...
a shimmer of hope?
Yeah.
Like a glimmer.
No, it's I'm thinking a shimmer. I want it to just
you
a little...
You want it to shimmer as it glimmers.
Right.
Okay.
But like, you know, we're not quite yet down by 21. Like
right.
We're only down by 17. Mm-hmm. And so there's still hope that if we had a miracle second half and then one of their players goes down.
Yeah.
Like you didn't wish for him to go down.
No.
But do you ever, and you don't want his career to be over.
No. Just, but do you ever just want his night to be over.
Like, yes. I wonder if he could have tweaked his ankle. If he tweaked his ankle just enough to not be able
to
come
back.
That's
Marty. Marty has a joke about that when he coached high school football. He was like, when the player would go down, when a player for the other team would go down, we'd all take a knee and we'd pray. We'd be like, Lord Jesus, just help this guy to feel better tomorrow because he is killing us off tackle, Jesus.
That's great. That's great.
But yeah, it's hard not to be like, But I also, you want to beat a team at their biggest strength. So, you know, you don't want to beat the Patriots without Tom Brady because you didn't really beat the Patriots then.
You know what? I would have felt that way before Tom Brady won like 17 Super Bowls.
He's
now,
40.
I'd be happy to beat him.
He's 40 and he's playing better somehow.
God, drives me crazy.
John, you're not even 40 yet, and I bet you could not throw a football across the side of this ring.
That'll hurt, John.
It would not reach me. You're wearing a hoodie,
can
completely
I use...
cinched up like Nana. You're rocking in a chair.
Yeah.
You're 39, right?
Yeah. Well,
39?
I'm sick, though. Give me a break.
So you're saying you if you were full strength, you, could,
full
play
strength,
like, you could play like Tom Brady?
I'm calling it. Listen, right now I'm going to the airwaves.
Okay.
You tell Tom Brady that I said name the time and the place.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be there.
I'll be
it.
There.
That's nice.
I don't know what we're going to do.
I don't either. He'll be there. He'll be wearing his Tom Brady could beat you in his UGG boots.
Does he have a UGG boots?
Yeah, he's a
Is
he's
he
a
UGG spokesman?
Yeah.
That's
Uggs for guys, weird. Uggs for men.
Oh, dear.
Uggs.
Not a big Tom Brady.
He's kind of metro. Like, he's got that thing about him that, like, you know.
Yeah.
Does he have a cologne?
He has a cologne. He's got his, you know, his old sportswear, whatever.
It always weird to have cologne by men because I don't want to smell like a man. You know what I'm saying?
They used to be the slogan.
Like I am.
Brute.
I smell like a man already. That's why I need cologne.
Brute. It smells like a man.
You know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't.
I already smell like a man.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Your natural smell.
Right. That's the thing we're trying to fix. So it's not...
Put some spices in there.
Yeah. Some old spices.
Oh.
If you will.
Old Spice was definitely the go-to thing when it's like, oh, I didn't get anything for Father's Day for my dad yet. It's the Old Spice gift set. I don't even know if people still buy Old Spice. Now the commercials are like really weird and stream of consciousness and odd.
Yep.
But it used to be Old Spice was the old person. They tried to kind of recapture. They tried to capture like a youth market. Well, it's got old in the name. It's like sailboats on the bottle.
Yeah.
Like, now they're going after the same people that like buy Axe body spray and stuff. You know?
You think that's what they're doing? Because Axe is all... Axe has a sexual tension, while Old Spice is just weirdness.
Yeah.
It's just some dude riding on a horse backwards across the beach. You know,
whenever I think of Axe, anybody that's been in youth ministry knows that when you think of Axe, you don't think of those commercials. You think of seventh graders dousing themselves in it.
Yeah. Oh, I think of Locker Room when I think Axe.
Yeah.
It's like dudes just like spraying their entire body with Axe, and it's smelling terrible. Yeah. I hated that smell.
Yeah.
It's like a cloud of insecurity.
It's like sweat. And insecurity.
I think of sweat and insecurity. I think of hotel rooms when you guys were kids and we were on trips and coming in there.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's always one of you.
I was never that person.
No, you weren't. But I will tell you this. There was always... The girls' rooms smelled so much worse than the guys. Oh, absolutely.
When did you start wearing underarm deodorant, John? How old were you? When did you get... First of all, let me ask this. When did you get underarm hair?
Jeez, this is getting personal.
How would I... I don't remember.
You don't remember this?
I don't remember.
Probably in... I don't remember exactly
when it happened, but I do remember that I was late to the game as far as underarm hair because I had very light hair.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so I remember being mocked. I remember being made fun of in the locker room because I had like bare armpits.
Wow.
Some guys had these huge.
That's awesome.
Like hair coming out. And I was just like, this is the. And I really did. I felt ashamed that I didn't have underarm hair yet. Which feels really dumb. You think about grown-up problems, and you're like, this is so stupid to be
like, now I wish I didn't have.
Right.
That'd be great.
What would be better than that?
Right.
Than not having underarm hair.
It's funny, man. You know, Johnny and I talk all the time about the difference in generational shame, because Johnny would make a joke. I will just say this to not be too explicit on the podcast, that our days of youth ministry, Dane, your particular group of guys... had apparently just incredible body image, and you guys had zero issue.
We were very secure
walking around with no clothes on.
Yeah,
like and on just for no reason on trips. Yeah. Like I would have to pull.
No, there was it was just funny.
I had to pull you guys aside all the time and say, "For the love, I'm going to kill you." Like, what are y'all doing? And Johnny would always say, "Whatever happened to the good old days when we were ashamed of our bodies?"
Yeah, I was my body was disgusting and horrible.
Why are you oppressing me with shame? Like it was.
I didn't want you to be shamed. I just
you did.
The
internet was out.
No,
and there was this thing people were being.
I wanted
stupid.
You to stop scaring away the visitor kids. That's kind of what I was going for.
I know you're.
Remember that one kid that never came back to camp? That really happened.
Oh, no. Probably happened a couple times.
Probably a couple. I remember the always thing was,
and we know him today as Marilyn Manson.
Oh yeah! Wow, that's a good callback there.
That was good, Johnny. That was good. No, I think you know what's so funny is the cause of shame is really irrelevant.
Yeah,
it really, really is. But man, it's funny how you remember it, even if it's not some big thing. I can honestly tell you, and there's things I wouldn't say. I can tell you moments, especially like probably between 9 and 12. When older guys made fun of me for some reason.
Yeah.
And it's as clear as day in my head still.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, no, it's crippling. Yeah, it's very defining. It's very crippling. Yeah. And I think you have to, and it can cross over your relationship with God, all that stuff where you like, you have to define what you can control and what you can't and what can strip your value and what can't, what shouldn't be assigned value, you know?
Yeah.
I think I have shame about things that I've said in my lifetime.
Yeah.
I have no idea why I'm doing a podcast now. Because it just magnifies it even more. But I can remember like specific instances where it makes me, like I think I was talking about it the other day with somebody, like you have those moments in the shower where you're all alone and you remember that one time you said that one thing or you did that one thing and you just scream.
I do it all the time. I go, oh!
I have those moments,
just from thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cringy moments.
Yeah, no.
And it's not even a big deal. I just said something stupid where I got a word wrong, and I'll remember that forever now.
Then I know what the bigger one is.
What is it?
I don't want to bring your shame to the public.
I don't know what you're talking about, though.
What if it's okay, all, oh, I can't wait.
It may
this.
Have been the best moment of ever.
The best moment of ever.
Of ever. Was, would you say it was a shimmering moment?
I did get a steroid shot today. We went to this record label meeting.
Oh, this is one of them. This is one of them.
No, he got it.
So I was managing the band that.
Golly,
I don't even know this.
We had our first big record label.
I hope
meeting.
This guy isn't listening.
It was so great. We walked in. It was. I won't say the name of it. It was. Well, I'll just
yeah,
say
you can say
it was EMI. It was it's like funny. The big boys. Yeah. It was okay. The big boys. It was, you know. And so we walk in, and I had coached. I had coached the guys because, you know, okay, look, you know, we want to look this way and this way and this way, and not man. This way and this way and this way. And so he walked in and the guy said, he turned to Dane and he said, hey, how you doing? I'm Brad. And Dane said,
hi, I'm Brad.
Wait,
my brain
you
shut
just
off.
Repeated it.
I did. I said, I would have taken it to the grave with that guy. No. I'd be like, my name is Brad forever. Like, oh,
yeah,
now.
You just be just Brad like, now.
Oh, you're Brad too,
dude.
And we all looked at Dane,
and I was like, nope. Actually, I'm an idiot. Wow. Yeah, that's one of those. Like, I'm sweating now.
Well, when you're nervous,
sorry, Dane. I'm sorry.
No,
when
it's
you're, I did not know that story. When you're nervous, though, you do. Yeah, you really say do. Like, I don't ever gush over people. Normally, like if I meet somebody kind of quasi famous, but I grew up like loving Steve Taylor's music, Christian artist, and like he wrote so many great songs, and he was just so different than anything else that was out there. He wrote very satirical stuff, and so I got to do a compassion dinner where they thank all the artists who raise money for Compassion Kids over the years with their events, and so I got to be invited to that. So Amy Grant's there, and all these people are there, and Steve Taylor walks in. I did not expect him to be there. Because he hadn't done music in 20 years at this point, but he was putting out a new record. He shows up, and I'm freaking out. Well, I had supported like his Kickstarter to make this new record. So Curry goes, because she's just like bold. She's like, just go tell him that you helped him make his new record that you're in. Just go introduce yourself. I go, I'm not saying anything. I sat down. I was like all cowering. And then like she goes and gets him.
Oh, wow.
And brings him over. She goes, my husband is like your biggest fan.
Oh,
and
he helped
raise money for your record. He gave towards your.
You're just melting in
no,
the chair.
Steve Taylor goes, he's here? Where is he? Like he wanted to meet me after he heard that, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So he comes over and then I do not remember what happened. I really don't.
You don't remember it.
He said, hi, you know, good to meet you. And I think I said, I'm Johnny, but I don't, who knows? Who knows what I said?
Your brain is shut off.
I literally do not do that normally, but I do not remember that conversation. And I asked Curry later, like, please tell me I didn't like keep him there too long.
Yeah, I've had similar moments like that.
And because I just don't normally do that, but he was a hero when I was a kid. And when somebody's your hero when you're a kid and then you get to meet him in real life.
Yeah.
And it's an artistic, it's a professional setting. It wasn't like I met him backstage at a show. Like I'm an artist, he's an artist now.
Right.
And it was just super cool and but weird too.
You know, I really think I think, Dane, the moment in your life that you begin to really feel stupid about things in your past is actually a sign of maturity. Because the way you feel about those little things, I
felt stupid for a long time.
I feel stupid about almost the last 20 years, lot of things.
Yeah, I have a lot of those.
And it's not just dumb things that I did, but it may be ways that I was thinking or ways that I lived in relationships.
Or how you treated people, even.
Yeah, I mean, not realizing that I did. I mean, the biggest one always, and I've talked about it before, but I mean, like the way I treated my buddy who was a drug addict, you know, the way I looked down on him and the way I didn't really love him well, or the way that I, Johnny, you sent me a tweet the other day.
I was thinking about that this morning, actually, too.
And do you remember, I bet you can quote it.
It said, you can't really love someone if you think that they need Jesus more than you do.
Oh, that's so good.
If you secretly think they need Jesus more than you do, you can't really love someone. And I was like, oh, wow. How many people do we like? Yeah, I'm going to help you. It's like we're reaching down from this position.
Yep.
It's like if you realize, well, that's the thing when I started doing, speaking of compassion, when I started doing events for children in poverty and you raise money for these packets in the back and there are these faces and you realize this is the only packet for that kid in the world and you're doing all this stuff. And I started learning from other speakers who do this and they go out and this is how they support themselves, but it's also how they support these children. And so they go out. And I wouldn't say they're pros at it, but they know how to motivate a crowd. And I was like, help me understand. And I'd watch their presentation and I would just pick up little clues of like, How do you make someone hit that, get that gut punch of poverty mm-hmm. when they're in a comfortable church building?
Right.
You know, that's heated and air conditioned. How do right. you, so the things they would say, and one of the things this person said that really always got to me, they talked about justice. They said, justice is not rich people helping poor people. Justice is realizing that we're all the same. And I've always taken that with me when I go to do anything that's for a charity. I try to put myself in that headspace of like, this is not about me reaching down to pull you to my level. It's about realizing this is humanity. We're all in this and we all need the same grace. We all need the same help.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you on this one. And it's gone.
Wow. It was like, it was that like was you're our accepting the credits an award. Were rolling. The credits were rolling. I don't think and with that note.
They probably couldn't hear it on the episode. Like it didn't bleed the through their phones. Music.
Oh, okay. And we should probably tell them.
Yeah, the music started.
And we just heard the outro music in our ears. It was like, I guess Johnny's done.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, wrap it up. No, you know, the thing is, to that point, you're right. And I am less likely at almost 40, as we pointed out. I spent my whole life making definitive statements, mm-hmm. you know? In fact, I felt like I'm almost built my identity around definitive statements. And so people will come to you who are looking for definitive answers because you're mm-hmm. willing to make definitive statements. And most all of them are accurate. I don't think I said a lot of things that weren't inaccurate. But
weren't inaccurate? Wait.
Wait, that weren't accurate. Gosh, I'm really struggling with this. You're just going to have to, I'm running on.
Wait, are you, so you're Brad. Now what?
How you doing, Brad? And now, you know, we're in a little email thing with some dudes and somebody really put out there some questions about, we were reading John 14.
Yeah.
Where Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, mm-hmm. I'll do it. He says it two or three times. And this dude, like, finally said what I think needed to be said into the thread.
Yeah.
He says, I can see how people really, really struggle with this.
Yeah.
Like the, you know, because it's such a clear thing and it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, and he just said it. And I was looking at it this morning because we're supposed to answer, and it's so hard for me. Number one, I got some things that I think would be helpful to this.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm so much more careful now to not go, let me give you three positive viewpoints right. that will...
Yeah, let me tell you why your thinking right, is wrong.
That will satiate right. your doubt. I mean, it's not to make you feel wrong. It's to help you feel better. It's like almost like my version of how I help Christianity is to hand you a Tylenol mm-hmm. and to help ease some of the aches and pains. And sometimes you need to feel them.
Yeah.
You know, that dude was being honest, finally. And I still said some things, but what I... That to me, that was the beauty of what this is supposed to be is, hey, you know, that's a big deal when you're willing to express to people that you care about something that's real, mm-hmm. Not for the purpose of just shutting it down, you know, but to say, I'm listening, you know, I'm listening there.
Yeah. And it's valid. And or if somebody's been damaged by church, we used to be like, oh, this is an attack against the church instead of what you're feeling is legitimate, and there does need to be reform within the church.
Absolutely.
I can see a need for that. That's not tearing down the body of Christ. That's not tearing down Christ's mission. That's just saying your situation, what you went through was wrong. There's years that I went through my life where I felt like I was afraid to even validate someone's real pain because I was afraid that it would then undermine their faith in God. Right. It would like be a linchpin thing. Like, if I let them have this,
right.
then they'll turn their back on the whole thing instead of being like, do what you went through was completely crazy.
Well, it would undermine your faith too.
Right.
If you were willing to admit that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that actually doesn't add up.
Right.
And, it makes you question everything if you start allowing these.
Right.
Well,
it's like, but see, it's like if there's a person who built my house and now I'm hanging, I mean, I've already drilled holes in the walls and had to like realize that's not a stud and start over and mud over it. And the house was perfect when I moved in. Mm-hmm. So for me now to be like, oh, because of these holes in the walls, like the builder, that does not undermine the builder, in other words.
Yeah, that's good.
The damage that I'm doing to my house from here on out is on me. And I have to keep a check on that. But it's like with the church, we're so defensive of it because we're afraid if we admit that we've knocked some holes in the walls
right.
when we shouldn't have, that it undermines the builder, and it shouldn't. It should not, but we're afraid of that.
Well, and the key to the church being the church is repentance.
Yeah.
It's what makes us the church in the first place. And you cannot have repentance without an acknowledgement that there's something in my life that needs to be continually reformed. Yeah. And there's it's like the Me Too movement. There are going to be those who always move towards, they're going to always go towards the exception. Well, I remember the one time that there was this one person and their accusation was false and this and that. And until you actually sit with someone and listen,
hear their story,
to a survivor, mm-hmm. you know, who went through something horrible that we haven't been through.
Right.
Like, where in the world is
We're having to learn to listen as a culture. And it's, to learn to listen as a culture.
And yeah, you're right. I think that's it. I think what I'm most, and I don't want to use the word shame, when I look back, and the reason I'm less definitive now, mm-hmm. When I make a definitive statement, I'm really more prayerful about it.
Yeah,
I want to get this right because I realize I'm still in process, mm-hmm. and I cringe at how often I felt like, well, that process is over in this part because I know this to be true and this to be true, and like I said, a lot of that was accurate. It's a light for my friend, and just so I don't leave this hanging on that. You know, I mean, I told him, I said, and you know, when I really kind of prayed about it this morning, instead of just going, well, let me tell you what it really means in the Greek, and you know, I said, you know, the one thing I'm reminded of this morning is Jesus also asked God for something directly that God said no to mm-hmm. and didn't answer in the way he wanted.
Yeah.
But he did answer. Because Jesus said, I don't want to be crucified, but I'll do it. If that's what you want. And God could have let him out of it. And in our minds, well, we could have found a different way or whatever.
Yeah.
But at least when we feel that brokenness or that sense of dissonance between us and God, that you said I can ask for anything, and you know, and we take it and isolate it and we make this whole religion out of that one verse and God let me down. And that's what they were saying, you know, and I'm sure people have asked for people to not die, and they did. And I, you know, and then that hit me and I said, you know, my dad had 99% blockage in his heart in 2011 mm-hmm. and honestly should have died. They weren't even aware of how he got into there. And I asked God to please not let my dad die.
Right.
In 2017, my dad died, you know?
Yeah.
But you know what I got? I got 6 years.
Yeah.
God answered my prayer, but it's never enough. Like the only answer to the prayer that would have worked is for dad to live forever, you know? And he is, by the way, but not here. But it's with Jesus, God said no, but then Jesus received encouragement. He sent angels to the garden who strengthened Jesus, and Jesus seemed to have this different sense of resolve before and after that moment.
Yeah.
That God said, I'm responding and I'm going to help you. And I think that was the thing. Look, Jesus is not, but we can't believe that Jesus is saying anything you want off the top of your head, I will always do it the moment you ask for it. Right.
Whatever.
I think in my name means in relationship with me, I will always respond and I will always be helpful to you.
Yeah.
And there was something freeing in that. But just that dude being willing, and then me being willing, hopefully, to not just juke him. I'm just going to juke you with all this, you know, stuff that doesn't help. So I feel you. Like the shame thing, I don't think shame ever helps. I think shame never helps. In fact, research shows shaming children does not improve behavior. It actually decreases.
Makes them better at hiding.
Yeah. it decreases their own ability to forgive themselves, one, and then makes them more...
Right, devalues. Yeah.
And so, but I do think to look back, and I'm kind of glad I cringe a little bit, because it makes me less likely to be so arrogant now to think that I'm the answer guy to everybody's problems, and that maybe I'll think before I speak. And then I think about how much more in 20 more years that will feel. So, I don't know. So I don't want to be 60. yet. Like, you know what I really want to be? I want to be a better 39-year-old, because I'm feeling pretty old, you know, some days. And some days I feel just as young as I always have felt. But
just, I think it's a good goal, and know that you'll never be as good as Tom Brady.
Guys, you tell him anywhere, anytime.
Bro, if you're listening, Tom, I'd be really surprised.
Yeah, Johnny, can I tell you, I love your Johnny does most of the descriptions for the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Most, not all.
Most,
not all, John.
Not all. Most, not all.
No. But the ones
one
you
of my
like.
Favorite parts, my favorite part of Johnny doing the description is he puts these little tags on the end. Not sponsored
not
by.
Not sponsored by. Yeah.
That is my favorite part.
Oh, well, thanks very much, Sam.
I think it, that needs to be a
I remember
tradition.
You're very funny, Johnny. You're
now,
very
remember,
funny.
Now, listen to this. Dane has always laughed at me, even when he was a kid in our youth group, 7th, 8th grade. But I remember when I started doing, like, I hadn't even started doing comedy yet. I was just thinking about it. And I'd said something, and he'd laugh, and I'd say, do you think that would ever work in front of a crowd? He goes, I don't know. I just don't. He goes, I think you're funny. I just don't think other people will think you're funny.
Did I really say that?
You really did. I was like, all right. Oh, wow. So eat it, Dane.
Man.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, what do I know, dude?
You couldn't have been more wrong.
I was wrong.
Someone asked me how you got into comedy the other day, and I told him the story of that time you stood up and just slayed a room. I wish I was there for that, by the way.
I was not there.
Yeah.
And you guys both let me down that.
Night.
And you walked off the stage and looked
at
me.
It was a college thing. I was a college kid.
You walked off the stage, you looked at me, and you said.
What was the next day? Because you were sick. That's why you weren't there. If you'd been there, I wouldn't have done it.
I was there. I couldn't sing. I was there.
Right.
It was by accident.
Yeah.
Right? I came.
Like he was gone.
We're supposed to do a funny song.
We're doing a funny song together, and John was sick, real sick.
I mean, I lost my voice. Totally lost my voice.
And I said, but the next is a 2-day retreat. So you came Saturday, but Friday night is when I did the thing.
I was here.
Because you said, I don't think so. Because remember, you asked me how it went. The second day you were with me.
Maybe it's just grown in folklore so much.
Man, that'd be something.
Well.
But anyway, it was definitely like a switch was flipped. Like
sometime that weekend, you looked at me and said, I know what to do with my life.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I said, whatever it is, drop that and do comedy instead.
And the rest is history, my friends.
Well. Yeah. Well, I think Emily's not going to listen to this one.
No, it's too long. We're sorry, guys.
But we have planted the seed now. It's going to come. It's going to circle back. It's like a telephone game.
The seeds come back and circle back. I don't think your metaphors are really weird today.
Tree seeds.
Do they shimmer?
The shimmering dandelion seeds. Yeah, they circle back. Well, we've had it was great hanging out with you guys and catching up. And hopefully we'll do it again next week.
For sure.
And send us your questions. Go ahead and subscribe. And
at Talk AB that pod.
Yeah. And, share it. We're getting some good comments and appreciate that from you, but we'll see you next week on Talk About That.
Peace.
Hello, my name is Adam Comer.
And I'm Ryan Chittister.
And we're the host of Life After Addiction Podcast. If you or someone you love struggles with addiction, check us out, Life After Addiction Podcast, and you can subscribe at lifeaudio.com.